the kisses of Dolores. Dolores. Not Marie or Emily or Doris. Only my Dolores. From a balcony above me, she whispers, love me, and throws a rose. Ah, but she is twice as lovely as the rose she throws.
I would die to be with my Dolores. Dolores. I was made to serenade Dolores.
What a break if I could make Dolores mine, oh mine. My Dolores.
Dolores, Dolores.
I was made to serenade Dolores.
Chorus after chorus.
Oh, just imagine eyes like moonrise, a voice like music, and lips like wine. What a break if I could make Dolores
mine, oh mine.
Philip Morris presents Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz in I Love Lucy. And now, by transcription, let's join Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz as Lucy and Ricky Ricardo in I Love Lucy.
Hello, I'm Ricky Ricardo, and I'm the guy who loves Lucy. The whole thing started 10 years ago. I had just come to this country from Cuba, and I didn't know much about your customs. The first girl I had a date with was Lucy. It was a romantic night. And after all, I had a reputation to live up to as a Latin lover, so I kissed her goodnight. It was right then that she told me that under the Constitution of the United States, if a man kisses a girl, he has to marry her. By the time I found out she tricked me, I didn't care. Because after all, if I hadn't married her, I would have married someone else. And Lucy's just like any other American girl, who is pretty, charming, witty, and partly insane. She's always doing such crazy things. Take the other night, for instance. I came home at midnight from the Tropicana. That's the nightclub where I work. Now, some wives would be fast asleep in bed, but not Lucy. She invited our landlord, Fred Merz, and his wife, Ethel, who live on the floor below us, to come over for a little jam session. So naturally, being something of a singer myself, I joined in.
You even sounded good.
Thank you.
You know, a little more practice and we could do singing commercials for television.
Gee, Ethel, you certainly play the piano wonderfully.
Oh, thanks, Lucy. Hey, how about Sweet Sue?
Yeah, that has a nice harmony, all right?
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Wait a minute, Ethel. It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, what about it, honey?
Yeah, 2 o'clock's a perfect time for Sweet Sue.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little late. Won't the other tenants complain?
About what, honey?
About all the noise.
Noise? We're not making noise. We're making music.
Yeah. Let them phone the landlord. I'm not home.
I always forget that you're the landlord.
Yeah, come on.
Guys, what's wrong with good friends harmonizing a little? That's what the world needs more of.
You're right.
Oh, it's so wonderful to have landlords like you two.
What a break for us to have tenants like you two.
Well, okay, Sweet Sue.
Yeah, let's go.
Look at this place, Lucy. You've taken such good care of it, we could rent it tomorrow and not have to change a thing.
Okay, Sweet Sue.
Yeah.
You know why, Ethel? It was in such wonderful condition when we moved in.
Well, all right, guys. Now, Sweet Sue.
You're the nicest tenant I ever had. And you're certainly the nicest landlady I've ever had.
Man, this is the most sickening conversation I've ever heard.
You're so right.
Oh, you two have no sentiment. I move that we dedicate the next number to our wonderful friendship.
Back to their friendship.
Here we go.
Da 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 da.
Every star above knows the one I love. Sweet Sue.
Good night. Aren't they wonderful people?
Yeah, they sure had a lot of fun, honey.
Oh, I had such a good time tonight. I want to live in this apartment the rest of my life.
Well, honey, I think that you and I and Fred and Ethel are fated to go through life together.
Yep.
Hey, look. Ethel left her rings here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, honey, she's absolutely right. People ought to do more singing in this world.
That's right, honey.
Every star above knows the one I love. Sweet Sue.
Come on, let's go.
In this heart of mine,
you live. That sounded like it came from the Mertz apartment.
Oh, no, honey, it couldn't be.
No, I guess not.
You live on the...
Hi.
Sweet to meet you.
Hello?
Hello, Lucy.
Hi, Ethel. What's on your mind?
What's going on up there, anyway?
Oh, we're singing Sweet Sue. Want to come up for another chorus?
You know what time it is. How do you expect anybody to get to sleep?
Why, Ethel, what's the matter? You thought it was fine when you were up here.
Well, I'm down here now, and I think it's lousy.
Well, really, Ethel, how can you change in such a short time?
Good night, Lucy.
Good night.
What's the matter with Ethel?
She must have walked downstairs too fast and gotten the bend.
What?
Well, she's a little grumpy because we're making noise.
Well, I thought you were
well,
kind of...
Well, so did I. She'll be over it in the morning. Come on, honey. Let's go
all
to
right.
bed. Da-da-da-da.
Lucy and I decided to ignore the Mercer's phone call and get ready for bed. Now, this should be a fairly simple thing to do. But not with Lucy and me. We always argue about the temperature of the bedroom. Lucy, who is part polar bear, likes lots of fresh air. If she had her way, we could rent the bedroom out as a deep freeze. Now, like every normal person, I like to sleep in a room with the windows closed and the heat turned as high as it will go. You know, warm and cozy. As usual, the battle of the bloodstream began. Lucy put the window up. I put the window down.
Oh, no, you don't.
Now, what do you want me to do?
A little fresh air isn't going to hurt you, you hothouse plant.
Hello?
Will you cut out that racket up there?
Fred?
Yes, Fred. How do you expect people to get me sleep?
Well, I was only closing the windows.
What with, a sledgehammer?
Now listen, Fred.
Listen, my foot. Now let's have it quiet up there.
How do you like that?
Let's have it quiet up there, he says.
Some lousy landlords they are.
Yeah. Nurse to the merch.
Yeah. Well, good night, baby.
Good night, honey. Oh, no.
The shower is dripping.
Oh. Yep, sure is.
Somebody should get up and fix it.
Yep, somebody should.
Well?
Well?
This isn't getting us any place. We'll both get up and fix it.
What?
That's the only fair way. When I count to three, we'll both jump out of bed.
All right.
You ready?
Ready.
Okay. One, two, three. Apparently, we can't trust either of us.
Apparently.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, that shower can drip all night. I just don't care. I won't pay any attention to it.
All right, neither will I.
All right.
All right.
Ricardo,
but I believe I left my diamond rings on your piano last night.
Yes, you did, Mrs. Mertz. I'd be very happy to get them for you.
Oh, don't bother. I'll get them, if they're still there. I don't know why you should worry. You can always buy another box of Cracker Jack. I'll have you know these are real diamonds. Mrs. Ricardo, would you be so kind as to inform me just when we are to be deprived of your charming company?
Very shortly.
Good.
Thank you.
My, it'll certainly be nice getting away from such disagreeable people.
It certainly will.
Would you like to give me the check for the next 5 months' rent now?
Of course, I'd be delighted.
What do you mean, the next 5 months' rent?
Well, if you're leaving, you have to pay off your lease.
Our lease?
Yes, don't you remember? You begged me on bended knee to give you a lease, just so that no one else could have this fantastically inexpensive, lovely apartment.
Oh, you mean that one-sided, unfair, binding contract that we were forced to sign before you would grant us the privilege of moving into this broken-down hovel?
Broken-down is right. Look at this place. It'll take the next 5 months' rent to redecorate.
Redecorate?
Yes. After we fumigate.
You can leave the check in my mailbox.
Honey, I don't seem to be able to...
Oh, shut up!
What's the matter with you?
Oh, I'm sorry. Ethel was just up here and she made me so darn mad.
What now?
She says they're going to hold us to our lease. We have to give them 5 months' rent before we can leave. I guess we're stuck here.
Well, now, that all depends.
On what?
On whether we can break the lease or not.
Do you think we can?
Could be.
What's on your mind?
We are going to become the two most unpleasant, disagreeable, nasty people in the whole world.
But how?
We'll force ourselves.
Boy, let's see now. What can we think of that'll make them kick us out? Think nastier. We'll get it.
Learn more about the golden age of radio at radioyesteryear.org. That's radioyesteryear.org. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
And now back to I Love Lucy, starring Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz as Lucy and Ricky Ricardo.
Well, after we decided to try and break our lease, Lucy and I spent the whole morning thinking of ways to annoy the Mercers. I had to go to rehearsal at noon, so I left Lucy in charge of Operation Nasty. And I couldn't have left it in more capable hands. What a brain she has. If you ever need any good, clean, dirty work done, I've got just the kit. As you know, the Mercers live directly beneath us. And when I came home, I found Lucy stamping around the room in football shoes, throwing books on the floor, and generally making as much noise as she could.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
How's my little list breaker doing?
Just fine. I'll say no rehearsal.
Oh, pretty good, honey.
A riveter's hammer. Watch.
Hey, that's very good. That's very good.
I'm surprised they haven't moved out. I have quite a schedule.
Yes?
Oh, it's time to make another call there, folks.
Well, let me look a little bit.
Get this.
Yeah?
Hello, this
is the Ajax Salvage Company. We buy old glass. I understand you have some rings that you're interested in selling.
Glad I'm on your side.
We'll break that lease yet. Now, remember, when you come home tonight, make a lot of noise.
Oh, that reminds me. I won't be home till late tonight, honey.
Why?
Well, we have to rehearse for a couple of hours after the club closes.
Ricky, why don't you have the rehearsal here?
Honey, are you crazy? I got a 16-piece band. I'll blow the roof off the joint.
Well, doesn't look like rain.
I'll do it.
Okay, fellas, remember, this is to break the lease, so make it loud. 1, 2.
Bongo de lo que se va. A cumba, 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 banchero,
banchero.
A bongo, 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 cero,
cero.
Riquiti que va sonando el cumba entero. Bongo cero que se va. Bongo cero que se va. Y suena así el tambo, riquiti. Bum, 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 va. Y vuelve a repicar, riquiti. Bum, 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 va. A cumba, 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 banchero. Bongo, 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 cero,
cero.
Riquiti que va sonando el cumbanchero. Bongo, cero que se va. Bongo, cero.
Yeah. All right. We'll dedicate the next number to Fred and Ethel Merritt.
Hey.
All right.
Fred and Ethel Merritt?
Yes, our lovely landlord.
They won't hear this. They're still down in the street.
Down in the street?
Yes, they have a big sign that says jam session tonight. Ricky Ricardo in person. And they're selling tickets.
Oh, no!
How do you like that?
I'm going down there. Give them a piece of my mind.
Yeah.
Oh, they're back in their apartment. It was too cold outside.
Oh.
They told us the last ticket.
Oh, they're back in their apartment, are they? Well, we'll dedicate the next number to Fred and Ethel Mertz. An old Cuban folk dance called El Breco de Liso.
El Breco de Liso?
Yes.
How does this old Cuban folk dance go?
Da-dum, 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 da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, that's right!
Hey,
Here's your lease.
Well, the next few days we spent packing. Finally, on Saturday morning, I put the last dish in the last barrel, and Lucy took the pictures off the wall. We were ready to leave the Mercer's apartment house forever.
Is that all, honey?
I think so. It'll certainly be good to get out of this joint, won't it?
Yeah, do you tell Lisa we were moving today?
Well, I haven't seen her since she brought up the lease. I mailed her a note telling her to come up and get the keys today.
What shall I do about this?
What is it?
It's a picture of us and Fred and Ethel taken on Atlantic Cedar last summer.
Oh.
We sure had a lot of fun there, didn't we?
Yeah.
What shall I do, throw it away?
Oh, no, I better pack it.
Huh?
Well, we can always cut them out with the scissors.
What are all these things here?
Oh, there's some things I borrowed from Ethel. She has a lot of my things, too, if she hasn't sold them.
You know, I got a lot of tools that belong to Fred. Some of them we bought together. What shall I do about those?
I don't know. Gee, it's amazing we could have been such good friends with a couple of stinkers.
Yeah. We sure had a lot of fun in the last 9 years. Until they show their true colors.
Yeah. Well, that just shows you how sneaky they are.
Yeah. Hey, honey, you want some paper for that? Come in, please.
Oh, these are yours.
Oh, thanks. These are yours, I guess.
Thanks.
It's all right.
Here's some things of yours that somehow got into my apartment. Thanks. There's some of your things that I managed to get hold of. It's all there. You can count it if you like. Oh, well, that won't be necessary, Mrs. Mertz. I trust you. You do?
Fred, it doesn't matter to me, you know, but for some crazy reason or other, I think Lucy wants to stay. Don't you, Lucy?
Well, it doesn't matter to me either, but it's up to Ethel. What do you say, honey?
You heard what the girl said. I guess we're staying, eh?
Yeah.
Only this time I want a long lease so that we don't ever get kicked out.
Well.
Fred?
Well, what do you know? I just happen to have a new lease already made out.
Lucy, starring Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz, featured Vivian Vance and William Frawley as Ethel and Fred Mertz. Tonight's program was written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll, Jr., and edited by Sterling Tracy. John Stevenson speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.
From February of 1952, it's been the pilot episode of I Love Lucy for Radio and Breaking the Lease. In a moment, we'll open the creaking door to the inner sanctum and the shadow of death as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
Learn more about the golden age of radio at radioyesteryear.org. That's radioyesteryear.org. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Inner Sanctum Mysteries, the famous horror program with the creaking door, was first heard on the Blue Network in January of 1941. Hyman Brown, a young producer-director of the network, got the idea for the greatest opening of the air in one quick flash. In a broadcasting studio where he'd been working, the door to the basement groaned and squeaked whenever anyone opened it. Turning to an assistant, Brown said, "I'm going to make that door a star." And he did. On Inner Sanctum, the stories were wildly improbable, usually turning on the maddest happenstances. Tested literary devices were used shamelessly to fool listeners, most frequent the trick of telling the story from the viewpoint of the killer, but never revealing so until the end of the program. Inner Sanctum moved to CBS in September of 43, where it became a mainstay there. Hyman Brown directed the program throughout the run. Great horror men of the screen appeared on Inner Sanctum, especially in its first seasons, when Boris Karloff was a regular, along with notables including Paul Lucas, Peter Lorre, Claude Rains, and Raymond Massey. The announcer in the early run was famous newsreel announcer Ed Herlihy. The final season was sponsored by Mars Candy, but the program sustained when it left the air in October of 1952 after a summer run on CBS. Return with us now to those fabulous days of yesteryear with Inner Sanctum and The Shadow of Death from October of 1945, another classic radio program from the audio vault of yesteryear.
Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup present Inner Sanctum Mysteries. Friends of the Inner Sanctum, this is your host to welcome you in through the squeaking door. We're having a party tonight for two of my favorite corpses. I call them Romeo and Juliet. They're newly dead, you know. Yes, she's the daughter of a famous society murderer, and he's the pride of the East Side morgue. Oh, they're so happy together in their mausoleum built for two. And you should see the bridal casket.
Shame on you, Mr. Host, making fun of such a tragedy.
But, Mary, it was a touching ceremony. Of course, I stood up for the groom. Naturally, the poor fellow couldn't stand up for himself. Well, Mary, let's tee off into tonight's story. It's called The Shadow of Death. And it's an original radio play by that boogie-woogie man, Robert Sloan. Yes, and our star tonight is Richard Widmark, who plays the role of Howard. All set? Then turn off the lights and let in the shadow of death. On a lonely dirt road that borders the village cemetery, a single car slows to a stop and parks in the moonless night. Inside it, a man leans back in his seat and reaches for the hand of the girl he loves.
Howard.
Yes, dear?
Why did you stop here? The cemetery's right over there.
Oh, I didn't notice.
You drove here last night, too.
Did I?
Yes.
Well, you're not frightened, are you?
Tonight I am. You've been so strange, so far away. I feel as if I hardly know you.
Darling, you mustn't feel that way.
What's the matter, Howard? There's something on your mind.
I'm going away, Marie.
Oh, no.
And I'm not coming back.
Howard, why?
Well, I don't really know if I can explain it. It seems so incredible, and yet I know it must be true.
What?
Something I've discovered about myself. Something strange and frightening, Marie. Wherever I go, I seem to cast a shadow. A shadow of death.
I don't understand.
No, I didn't either at first. I thought it was just a strange coincidence. But it isn't. It's me. I bring death wherever I go.
Oh, Howard, you don't really believe that.
Well, how can I believe anything else? Haven't you noticed what happens to every living thing I have around me?
No.
I can't keep a pet of any kind, a cat or a dog. Even a plant dies when I have it in the house.
Oh, darling, that's just your imagination. You've been working too hard. You need a rest.
No, I'm going away, Marie. I don't want any harm to come to you.
Oh. No, please. Nothing's going to happen to me. This is just...
What's the matter?
Well, nothing. I was just looking at the flowers in my corsage.
Good heavens. They're dead. don't believe me either, do you, Doctor?
Well, let's not put it on that basis, Howard. After all, I've been trained to look for the physical causes of death, not the supernatural.
Then what do you think I should do?
Frankly, I'd like you to spend a few weeks away from these surroundings. Go up to the sanitarium I told you about. They'll take good care of you up there.
All right, Doctor. I'll make arrangements to go tomorrow. But I know it won't do any good.
You'll be surprised, Howard. 2 or 3 weeks from now, you look back on this as a...
Yes?
That's strange. Those goldfish in my aquarium. They're all dead.
Tell me the truth, Howard. Are you comfortable here in the sanitarium?
They don't believe me. They don't believe that people die when I dream about them.
People die?
Yes, didn't you know that? Every time I have a dream about someone, it's a sign of death. And the next morning when I wake up, I look in the obituary column and I see the name of the person I dreamt about.
Well, Howard, what have they done to you here?
Nothing, only they don't believe me. The dreams, I mean. I had to prove it to them this morning. And it made me feel very bad.
What made you feel bad?
The dream I had last night. I killed a man, Marie.
What?
I killed him in my dream.
Oh.
He was a good friend of mine, too. He lived right across the hall.
Oh, Howard, please. You've got to get hold of yourself.
But I'm afraid, Marie. I don't want to dream anymore.
Oh, darling, I can't bear to see you this way.
What?
I'll get you out of here. I promise, Howard. I'll get you out of here today.
But, Marie, there isn't a chance of getting him out. He may have to stay in this institution for months.
Oh, no. Dr. Gerard, can't you see what's happening to him? He's losing his mind.
Well, I know he's taken a turn for the worse. That's all the more reason for keeping him here. It might be dangerous to discharge him now.
Then why don't you do something to help him?
We're doing everything we can. It's not easy. He persists in thinking he has this strange power of death. Nobody is able to convince him he's wrong.
What about the man across the hall? Howard said they were good friends.
That's another thing. They were good friends. But unfortunately... that man died this morning.
Come in.
Ah, good morning, Howard. How do you feel today?
Oh, much better, Doctor, much better.
No bad spells last night? No curious moods?
No, I feel fine. Almost well enough to go home.
Let me look at your eyes.
You will let me go home again, won't you, Doctor?
Yes, Howard, of course, of course. You, haven't had any of those dreams lately, have you?
No, not for a long time.
Are you sure?
Well, I did have one last night.
You dreamt that someone was dead?
Yes, I did, but I know it's not true. It can't be true.
Whom did you dream about, Marie?
No, Doctor. I dreamt about you. That's why I know I'm wrong. You're alive, Doctor. Don't you understand? You've proven it to me.
Easy, easy now, Howard. Tell me about your dream.
Well, I dreamt I was going home, and all the people I'd killed in my dreams were alive again.
Yes, go on.
Well, somehow or other, I could see my house from this window, and everything was just as it was a long time ago. The flowers were growing. Dog was in the yard.
The one that was run over?
Yes, everything was well again. And I was well, too. That's why I wanted to go home. But you and Marie's mother didn't want me to.
She was in the dream, Marie's mother?
Yes, I don't know how she happened to be there, but she was.
That's all right, Howard. Go on.
Well, I started to leave, Doctor, but she held me back. She held my arms like this. And then you jumped up to ring the bell for help. But before you reached it, I was on top of you like this.
Oh.
I had my fingers around your throat.
Oh,
and I was squeezing it so hard. I could feel your windpipe bending back until you couldn't breathe anymore.
Howard, let go.
That's what you said last night, you fool. You wanted me to let go.
Help on. Until your face turned as blue as it is now.
It was almost black before I let you go.
But first I made sure you were dead.
And then I dropped the body. see that. My dreams do come true.
Well, have you had any good dreams lately? Howard has. And you know, his dreams don't need interpretation. No, they need cremation. Say, it's a lucky thing that guy works on the night shift. Be awful if he had daydreams, too. Well, let's get back to our dream man and find out what he does in his waking moments. When we left him last, he had just done a little manual work on Dr. Gerard's windpipe. And now, as the good doctor lies comfortably on the sanitarium floor, Howard is in the process of going through his pocket.
I'll have to have the keys to your car, Doctor. I'll need them to get back home. I hope you won't mind if I hide you under this bed. May take them a little bit longer to find the body if I do.
Yes, who is it?
Dr. Frisbee, Howard. May I come in?
Well, yes. Yes, I'll open the door. What is it, Doctor?
Well, I was looking for Dr. Gerard. I thought he was in here.
Oh, yes, he was a moment ago. I think he went down the hall.
No, I just came from there. I guess he went back to his office.
Oh, yes, I guess he did.
How are you making out, Howard?
Fine, Doctor, fine.
You seem a little nervous. Your hands are shaking.
Oh, well, I...
You see, you've dropped your keys.
I'll get them.
It's all right, Howard. I wasn't going to take them away from you. But I am wondering how you happen to have any keys in your possession.
Well, they're not really mine.
Whose are they, Dr. Gerard's?
Yes, he left them here. I mean...
You stole them from him?
No.
Now, come, Howard. You can't expect me to believe Dr. Gerard would give you any keys. Now, you'd better let me have them so I can give them back.
But I didn't...
Let me have them, Howard. Thank you.
You won't tell him I took them, will you?
No, Howard, I won't tell. But please don't take them again.
I'll go anyway. I'll get out onto the road and I'll get a hit, yes, sir. I'll get away. I've got to speak to Marie. Going down, mister? Guess not. Oh, here comes another one. Hey, stop! Give me a ride, will you? Give me a ride, please, mister. Oh, he's stopping. Hey, wait for me, will you, mister? I'm coming. I'll be right there. Oh, gee, thanks, mister. You going into town?
Yes, Howard. But you're not.
Dr. Frisbee.
Yes, I've been watching you ever since you took those keys. I thought you'd try something like this.
The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with yesteryear.
Better get in the car, Howard, so we can talk this thing over.
All right.
You know, it's silly to run away from our place up there. If you really want to go home, all you have to do is ask.
I did ask.
When?
This morning. Oh, wait a minute. Don't start the car.
Why not?
There's a truck coming. In back.
Where?
Oh, Howard! Let go of me, Howard!
I've got to have this car, Doctor. When I finished with it, I'll return it to you.
Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Walker.
Who's this?
Howard. You remember me, don't you?
Howard, where are you?
In a telephone booth around the corner.
You're not in the sanitarium?
No, I've been discharged. Dr. Gerard said I could go.
You mean you're well again?
Yes, I'm completely cured.
Oh. Oh, I see.
You don't sound very happy about it, Mother. Where's Marie?
She's out on a date.
When will she be back?
Well, I don't know, Howard. She didn't say.
I've got to see her again, Mrs. Walker. I've got to see her once more before I die.
Before you die?
Yes, I haven't much longer to live. Now, where is she?
Well, I think she said she was going to movies.
You're lying.
I'm not, Howard. I just can't be sure. But if you go to the theater, you might find her there.
You don't want me to see her, do you?
No, not until I've spoken to Dr. Gerard.
Why? Don't you believe me? Don't you believe I'm well again?
No, Dr. Gerard.
Never mind what he said. Mrs. Walker, you mustn't dislike me. I'm very fond of you.
You are, Howard?
Yes. I've been thinking a lot about you lately, while I was in the sanitarium. Last night, I even had a dream about you.
Keep ringing that number, operator. I've got to locate Dr. Gerard.
Why the hurry, Mrs. Walker?
Howard, how did you get in here?
Through the back door. Put that phone down, please.
But I...
Put it down, I said.
Yes, yes.
You lied to me about Marie being at the movies, Mrs. Walker.
I didn't mean to, Howard. I told you I wasn't sure she was there.
Where is she? This time I've got to know.
Howard, how dare you? Get your hands off me.
I'm not in a gentle mood, Mrs. Walker. I'm fighting against time.
You've done something wrong, Howard. You've escaped from the sanitarium.
No, I've done more than that, Mrs. Walker. I've killed a man.
Howard!
Two men, three men. I can't remember how many it was, but there's going to be one more.
Howard, you wouldn't kill me, would you?
Wouldn't I? What have you done to deserve your life? Let it ring.
But that may be my call.
Your call is coming now, Mrs. Walker.
Howard, please. Put down that knife.
Will you tell me where Marie is?
I told you, I don't know. I don't know.
Then I'll wait for her. Right here.
Howard, you can't. No, you can't.
Yes, I can, Mrs. Walker. Hello?
Hello, this is Dr. Frisbee Sanitarium calling. Is Mrs. Walker there?
I'm sorry. You have the wrong number. Marie, darling.
Howard. Howard, what are you doing here?
I've been waiting for you to come home, darling. Aren't you glad to see me?
Oh, yes, of course I am. It was such a surprise, I couldn't catch my breath for a minute. Where's Mother?
Upstairs. Why?
Oh, I just wanted to know.
You had no other reason?
No. Howard, why are you staring at me?
I'm not really staring. I'm just looking at you, darling. It's been such a long time since I've seen you. I'd almost forgotten what you were like.
Let's go inside.
No, if you don't mind, darling, I'd rather go for a ride.
You're all right, aren't you, Howard? I mean, you're completely well now.
Oh, can't you see I am?
Yes, but yes.
Then let's not wait any longer, darling. Come on, we'll go for a ride.
Getting late, Howard. Don't you think we ought to go back?
No, not yet, Marie. You just keep driving. These few moments we have together, maybe I'll... Marie, why are you stopping here?
We're low on gas, dear. I don't want to get stuck on the highway.
Oh.
Yes'm? Will it be?
You better fill her up.
All right.
And have you got a telephone here?
Yes'm, right inside.
Thank you.
Wait a minute, Marie. What do you want with a telephone?
Oh, I was going to call my mother. She'll be worried about me.
Oh, no, she won't. She knows you're with me. Besides, she went out for a little while.
Well, maybe she's back by now. It won't hurt to call, will it?
No, I guess it won't.
I'll be right back, Howard.
Well, hurry, darling. I want to be with you as much as I can.
Yes, I won't be a minute.
Number, please.
Operator, quick, get me the police. This is an emergency.
Yes, ma'am, right away.
Headquarters, Sergeant Dunn speaking.
Sergeant, listen carefully. I won't have time to repeat it. The murderer of Dr. John Gerard is right here in a filling station on Route 6 at the Hadley intersection. What shall I do? I can't keep him here.
Does he know you're onto him?
No, he doesn't know I read the story in a newspaper just before I got home. He was waiting there for me, and I haven't been able to get to a phone since.
But don't take any chances. He's a homicidal maniac. Don't even try to stall him if he wants to leave.
No.
Just stay where you are, and we'll be over there in 4 minutes.
Oh, no, that's no good. He won't let me stay here. He'll take me with him.
Marie.
Oh, he's calling for me now.
Marie.
Just a moment, Howard.
What can I do, Sergeant? What can I do?
Give me the description of the car, quick.
It's a dark blue sedan. License number 468J3. We've been going east on Route 6. Oh, I can't talk anymore. He's coming.
Marie, for heaven's sake, what kept you so long?
Oh, I had a hard time getting the number. There was something wrong with the lines.
But you were talking to somebody.
Yes, I was speaking to Mother.
You were speaking to your mother?
Yes. She told me not to stay out too late.
You're lying, Marie.
No, I'm not, Howard. I talked to her.
You talked to the police. That's why you lied to
me.
You did. Your mother's dead.
Howard!
I know, because I killed her.
Howard!
Be quiet. Get back into the car. You're coming with
me. No, Howard. Howard, you're hurting my arm.
Get back in the car.
Hey, you leave her alone. Keep out of this, you fool. Leave her alone.
I told you to keep out of this.
Howard, no.
Hey, put down that right now. Put it down.
Howard, how could you?
Never mind. Get into the car.
Howard, why are you stopping here?
Don't you know where we are, Marie? This is the cemetery.
Where we stopped before.
Yes. I like it here. It's so quiet and peaceful among the dead. Let's walk through the grounds.
Howard, please.
Why not, Marie? We're among friends. So many of our loved ones are buried here. It's nice to be near them. Come on, Marie.
All right, Howard.
You know, darling, we haven't much more time together. The shadow of death has fallen across our path.
You said something like that before, but you never told me why.
I'm being selfish, Marie. I know I have to die, and I want you to come with me.
Why do you have to die, Howard?
Because I haven't been true to myself, darling. I haven't been true to this power I have.
The power of death?
Yes. I've helped it along sometimes. Like that dream I had about my friend in the sanitarium. Like the flowers in my garden. Like those fish of Dr. Gerard's.
You killed them?
Yes. I knew they were going to die. But I shouldn't have helped them. That's why I'm being punished.
But Howard, why are you punishing me?
I don't want to die alone, Marie. We've been away from each other so much, darling. I want us to be together from now on.
But
don't be afraid, darling. I'll be gentle, Marie. So gentle.
But you're making a mistake, Howard.
No.
You are. You've forgotten what you've done. You can't kill me, darling.
Why not?
Good heavens, Howard, don't you remember? Don't you remember that day at the sanitarium? You said you dreamt about me.
No. No, I couldn't have.
Yes, you did. Didn't they tell you what happened?
No.
Your dream. Your dream, it was true. That's why you can't kill me now.
Marie, you mean...
Yes, Howard. I'm dead.
I can't believe it.
Oh, you must believe it. Here. Look at this tombstone. My grave is right here.
Oh, no.
Read what it says. Read the name on it.
It's your name, Marie. Your name. Marie Walker.
Yes.
Then you really are dead.
I told you I was, Howard. The shadow of death passed over me.
Then let it pass over me.
Hey, got him, Sam. Got him the first shot. Keep out of the way, miss. He may not be dead yet.
No, I'm sure he's dead.
Well, you certainly had a close call. Took all this time to locate your car. Finally spotted it on the road. You all right?
Yes, I'm all right.
Yeah.
The name of my grandmother's tombstone saved me.
How's that?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Say, that's funny.
What?
This guy was shot through the shoulder. My bullet wounds weren't serious enough to kill him.
What do you mean?
Well, I know it sounds crazy, but my shots didn't kill him. He was dead before I hit him. ¶¶
What a shame. Wasting two perfectly good bullets on a guy that was dead all the time. Well, at least they won't have to go far to bury him. Here's one villain who died practically in the middle of his own plot. Well, before I put the skeletons back in their closets, I'd like to give you a parting word of advice. A body should never be left alone at the morgue at night. After all, it might become slab happy. And now it's time to close the squeaking door, so good night. Pleasant dream.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
From October of 1945, it's been Inner Sanctum Mysteries with The Shadow of Death. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today, but join us again next week at the same time and invite a friend to listen to enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our
Copyright the Swing and Big Band Preservation Society, Incorporated. All rights reserved.